In animation, our view moves past a desk and a globe. Sparkling dust erupts and a book flies off a shelf. Its title reads, Belle's Magical World. The book opens and shows illustrations of Belle, the castle staff, and the beast.
Once upon a time, a beautiful young woman named Belle went to live in a strange and magical castle. There, she befriended the castle's staff of enchanted objects, who, like their master, the Beast, had once been human. But now, they were all living under a spell that only the power of love could undo. As their friendship grew, they hoped that Belle might be the one who could learn to love a beast, and thus release them all from the spell.
An illustration depicts Belle and the Beast. The page turns to show an enchanted book, a quill pen, and a stack of papers who all smile. Above them, a title reads, The Perfect Word. On the following page, an illustration of the castle at night comes to life. Inside, Cogsworth the Clock lights candles on a chandelier, who wears a glum expression.
Chandelier, you look radiant. Together, you and Lumiere will be the perfect light.
Height, you say? And what has our height got to do with anything?
Light, Chandelier, the perfect light.
What? Well, why didn't you say that in the first place? So it's to be the two of us, eh? Won't that be marvelous?
Of course, madame.
And send 20 cords of wood to the castle. Send it now, because...
In the study, the quill pen startles away.
Because you say so. Yes, that's it. No, wait. Because you need it.
Yes, because I need it. Sincerely and so forth.
The quill finishes writing and the letter rolls up. A bow ties itself around the remaining papers and a face appears.
With a spoon?
A pigeon flies in. The bird salutes the quill and the stack of papers, then flies off with the letter.
You know the way!
Dinner is served, a meal exquisite in every detail, as is our company.
Lumiere winks at Beast.
She makes me nervous, Lumiere. Why is that?
She is a woman, Master.
Tell me how to impress her.
A kiss of the hand should serve you well. Done properly, it will have a most charming effect.
In the hall.
I've been reading the most wonderful book.
Well, perhaps you can tell us all about it at dinner. Things have been pleasantly tranquil with him of late.
Tranquil?
Well, I meant only to refer to how well you and His Grace have been getting along.
Yes, we have.
Perhaps, tranquil. That isn't quite the right word.
Calm, serene, in a word, harmonious.
That is a good word. You're a very smart dictionary.
Allow me to present myself. Webster, at your service.
Nice to meet you, Webster. Won't you join us?
But of course. For I am, after all, indispensable, irreplaceable, essentially.
Mademoiselle, your presence here this evening warms my heart.
Belle enters the dining room and approaches Beast.
Mademoiselle, your presence here this evening warms my heart.
He kisses her hand.
My thank you.
Later, they sit at the table.
I was just telling Cogsworth about the most wonderful book.
Chandelira drops down and bumps Lumiere.
A wicked woman who makes her stay inside and work day and night. Of course, she becomes terribly lonely.
Chandelira, you're bright.
Well, of course, I'm exceptionally intelligent. Doesn't take a genius to tell you that.
Your light is too bright. You'll spoil the mood.
Boil the food? Oh, goodness, no. That's the cook's job.
But the evil stepmother forbids it, not until her work is finished. Isn't that terrible?
Beast tugs his collar.
Is something wrong?
It's a little warm in here. That's all. Please continue.
I can see my own shadow. Rise up!
Rise up? Oh, I won't stand for such insults. I deserve respect.
Shush, 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 both of you. You're creating a spectacle.
Chandelier rises back up. Beast eats from a bowl.
How she can't possibly finish her work. And how she has nothing to wear and no way to get there.
Excuse me. Open the window.
But, Your Eminence, the air could cause a chill.
Very well. Please, continue.
So you won't believe what the fairy godmother does. She casts a spell that solves all the girl's problems. But there's a catch. It only lasts until midnight.
Enough! The window. Open the window.
But
no!
Opening the window.
Strong gusts of wind blow through the window. Are you still warm?
Mm-hmm.
Items on the table shiver. Others are getting cold.
Well, perhaps they should leave the room.
That's not very congenial.
What? Congenial, cordial, pleasant, agreeable. And for a definitive definition, I don't have to be well, it's my castle, and I make the rules.
Just because it's your castle doesn't mean you should be rude.
Rude, offensive, primitive, abrupt.
I know what it means.
Beast hits him.
Webster! Oh, no. Oh, you poor thing.
Dazed, disoriented.
That was an awful thing to do. You're acting rude and foolish.
Belle storms out. Beast knocks over the table, then his chair. Later, an enchanted broom cleans up the dining room.
Belle simply refuses to leave her room.
Well, I'll tell you what we must do. We must solicit an apology. The master's conduct last night was, well, less than exemplary.
He's not the only one. Did you see her last night? The way she hovered?
Lumiere, it was not my intention to outshine you. I simply couldn't hear you, my dear.
Chandelira sheds a tear.
Couldn't hear. Ah, she's been using that excuse for years.
Apologize?
She should apologize to me.
Yes, Master. Of course, Master.
In her room, Belle smiles at the wardrobe, then hurries to the door. Smiling, she fixes her hair and dress before opening it.
Down here.
She finds Lumiere and Cogsworth.
You want me to apologize? To him? I suppose I do owe him an apology. For calling him rude, I mean.
So, you'll do it?
Yes. Right after he apologizes to me first.
Cogsworth and Lumiere approach Beast's room.
This must be put delicately.
Leave it to me. So, you see, she has agreed to apologize. Yet there's one minor catch, however.
Beast throws them out, then looks into the hall.
I will never apologize!
In her room, Belle sits on the bench near her window. She wears a sad look, then starts to cry. In his room, Beast stands by the enchanted rose. Later, a close view shows fallen petals beneath the flower.
I'm beginning to wonder if they'll ever speak to each other again.
If she does not love him before the last petal falls, we will all be enchanted forever.
I say we give it more time.
A petal falls.
Easy for a clock to say.
There's certainly no point in fretting about it here.
Mrs. Potts, Lumiere, and Cogsworth leave.
It is up to us, mes amis. We must act. Act now, and act fast. So, any ideas?
Well, the boss ought to apologize.
In a word, yes. But we can't do it for him.
Why not?
Mrs. Potts listens.
With deep regret for my heedless conduct, I therefore offer my apology and beg your forgiveness.
The quill writes a letter.
Short.
Sweet.
Sincere.
Cogsworth, have you seen Lumiere?
Yes, but I'm sorry to report he's avoiding you. He just can't find it in his heart to forgive, I'm afraid.
And all my own fault.
No, don't punish yourself. He's too proud for his own good.
In Belle's room, Mrs. Potts pours tea.
Heavens!
Witherspoon delivers his letter.
A letter? Who could it be from?
Why, haven't the foggiest.
Witherspoon! It came from within the castle.
It must be from the master.
Belle reads the letter and smiles.
It is from him. The trouble between us is over.
The castle staff follows her as she leaves. Webster, the quill, and the stack of papers step out from behind a curtain.
Just look, mes amis. What did I tell you?
Now they will forgive and forget.
Oh, what if they find out it was us?
Mum's the word.
In Beast's room.
No, don't say a word. It's my turn to speak. I'm here to apologize.
You are?
Your graciousness has put me to shame.
It has?
I'm only sorry that it took me so long. I want you to know that I never meant to call you a fool. I'm the one who's been foolish and stubborn and petty and unwilling to forgive.
I'm so happy you came.
Then you'll forgive me?
Of course.
Later, Belle reads by the fireplace.
As the carriage rolled forward, the girl looked back.
She looks at Beast, who eats a snack.
At the flowering farm. Then drew herself up courageously for the...
Chewing, he watches her.
Journey ahead. Do you like it so far?
Yes. Deep breathing.
Her childhood held such sweet... memories, which she would...
She stares in disgust at the beast.
Cherish like precious gems.
He takes another bite of food. Belle shuts the book.
I'm sorry. It's hard to read while you eat those.
But they're my favorite.
I can read later if you like.
You're leaving?
No, I just can't read while you eat. Of course, you could eat them later.
His eyes widen, and he looks down at his snack. The castle staff watches with uneasy anticipation.
Very well.
I must say, His Highness is most considerate this evening.
Not at all.
And his temper so controlled. Thank you.
We wouldn't want you to have to write another letter of apology, would we?
What do you mean?
Beast glares at Cogsworth.
I was merely referring to your letter to Belle, Master. And I must say, never have I heard an apology so eloquently worded.
I wrote no such letter.
I don't understand. Are you taking back your apology?
It wasn't my letter.
But I have it.
Show it to me.
If you insist, it's in my room.
In the study, Mrs. Potts hops onto a desk and looks at a bookshelf.
Webster? For goodness sake, come down here.
She looks at the quill.
La plume? Surely you can do better than that.
She eyes a shelf.
And Crane, you're much too short to be a map. Come over here. I want you to know that I knew of your scheme from the start, gentlemen. You're in hot water. I suggest you boys confess to what you've done. Unless the truth is revealed, he and Belle will forever eye each other with distrust.
In her room, Belle shows the letter.
There, written on your stationery.
With my pen, it's a forgery.
Surely you're not suggesting I would do such a thing.
Crane, Webster, and La Plume enter. Webster hits La Plume, and the quill pen's nose sticks in the floor.
Master, we have a confession to make. The letter was a
fraud, counterfeit, sham, fake, a forgery. I worded it.
A coin heel.
No!
Beast chases La Plume and Webster out of Belle's room. The quill slides down the banister of the grand staircase. Webster hides between books on a small table as Beast passes. Trembling, he hops away. Beast takes a close look at a bird statue, then leaves. La Plume hides as one of the statue's feathers. He hurries off. Beast looks around the grand foyer. He makes his way to the front doors and checks outside.
Where are you?
He scans the snow-covered yard, then slams the doors shut. Outside, Crane pops out from a pile of leaves and hops off. Later, the three friends hide under a chair.
Come out, boys. We know you're in here.
I won't hurt you. Explain to me. Why would you do such a thing?
We merely wanted yourself and our master to speak again.
Beast arrives.
Stand aside.
Let them go, I beg you.
They betrayed me.
Please! I can't bear to see them harmed.
He raises his brow.
Very well. I will spare them. But if they ever step foot in this castle again, they will have to answer to me.
Beast grabs them.
But they didn't mean...
Silence!
He tosses them over a balcony to the snowy yard below.
And
anyone found giving them comfort will be sorry.
They leave the castle grounds.
Now, where do we go?
Let us march forth into town.
And beg for help.
In the kitchen.
This is more than I can bear. They can't survive out there.
There's nothing we can do about it now.
With a glum expression, Mrs. Potts looks out the window. Crane, LaPlume, and Webster hop over a log in the woods. LaPlume's nose sticks in the snow.
Oh, my pain is eternal.
Look! Just up there! We made it! We made it! Hooray!
Oh, we're there! How could we ever have doubted you? It's town! It's really... Down?
In the kitchen.
Yes, it is a pity, but one can hardly blame the master. After all, forgery is a crime.
If anyone committed a crime, it was me. None of this would have happened if I'd apologized.
I'm the one who should apologize, dear. I knew about the forgery, but I wanted so desperately for you and the master to forgive each other.
I must find them. I'll ride after them, bring them back, and... There they are! Oh, they look awful.
No, you can't help them. The master specifically stated...
He bumps a pan.
Can you beat that? Town looks just like the castle.
It is a castle. And after we walked so far...
Belle puts on a cloak and steps outside.
The plume, Crane, Webster. Come with me. We must get you by the fire.
Oh, no, 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 no. I'd rather freeze to death in a good stomach, thank you. I'm not going to face the master. That guy is a beast. He'll hurt us.
I don't think so. I'll speak to him. He'll let you stay, I'm sure of it.
Beast listens.
Because deep down, he has a good heart. We let things get so far out of hand. You're the ones who suffered the most. Please, forgive me.
Oh, we'd be sorry, friends, if we didn't forgive you.
Oh, thank you.
Belle hugs them.
If only I could have said those same words to him. Oh, you poor things. Let's get you inside right away.
Our view rises to show Beast watching from a rooftop. In the study...
That fire should have you warm and toasty in no time, gentlemen.
Yeah, good. Still no sign of the master.
Hopefully he won't be too upset.
Upset? I dare say the master could react far worse than that. Yeah, and you won't see me around when he gets here. No, sir. I'll be so far gone.
Beast enters, knocking Cogsworth against a wall.
I have something to say. I've been difficult, I know. And I'm sorry. Please, forgive me.
I forgive you.
And you, will you forgive me?
Oh, yes.
We all forgive you.
Beast starts to walk away, then stops.
That was so easy. I feel happy now. Happier than I can remember.
He leaves. Crane, Webster, and LaPlume sigh. Lumiere hangs his head.
Everyone has been able to forgive but me.
It's not too late to do something about it, dear.
Chandelira's tear puts out her last candle.
We're in for a treat, Chandelira.
Oh, you don't say.
LaPlume, Crane, and Webster have agreed to tell us all about their adventures in the forest. And I'm pleased to say you'll be seeing an old colleague.
Why would I want to see an old collie?
Colleague, dear. Colleague.
Later.
We could see the whites of their eyes.
hear the ferocious panting of their fetid, carnivorous lupin breath.
Still, we ventured forward into the night, for nothing could scare us, not even vicious wolves.
Excuse me.
Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. You said you wanted to forgive.
Give me time.
Cogsworth shoves Lumiere toward Chandelier.
Don't tell me. You've come down to hear better.
No, Lumiere, I have not.
So, you admit it. You lower yourself to burn brighter.
I lower myself to work more closely with you.
She bats her eyelashes. The others smile.
We do work well together, don't we? Chandelier, please forgive me.
Oh, Lumiere, all you had to do was ask.
Lumiere dances around the table and lights Chandelier's candles. At dusk, a view from afar shows the castle. Belle, Beast, and the castle staff watch the sun set from inside.
Everything is so peaceful. It just goes to show, for every problem there's a solution. A solution often expressed in just a single word.
Forgiveness. To put past differences aside.
It's quite a lovely evening. Perhaps you two would like to venture onto the veranda, while the rest of us prepare the hors d'oeuvres.
Hors d'oeuvres? What hors d'oeuvres?
Lumiere nudges Cogsworth.
Oh, yes, the hors d'oeuvres. How silly of me. Let's go.
The staff scurries out. Beast helps Belle stand from the couch, and they walk out to the balcony.
It's warm now.
Soon it will be spring.
A butterfly lands on her finger, and she shows it to him.
Beautiful.
As they hold each other's hands, our view pulls away. Fade to black. Now, Belle walks across the snowy castle terrace. A flashback shows her and Beast arguing.
There are times I think that no one seems to listen. There are times I think they listen but don't hear. There are times I think they hear but something's missing. The thoughts behind the words aren't clear. So I think they're saying something they're not saying. They think I mean something I don't mean at all. Do we raise our voice miscommunicating or simply say nothing at all? Is there another way to say it in a way that can be heard? Let me see if I can put it into words.
Belle feeds animals.
I can hear you, you can hear me when we listen with our hearts. I understand you, you understand me. That's the place where we can start. Words of kindness and forgiveness bring us closer, not apart. When we speak our minds and listen with our hearts.
Beast and Belle make up and spend time together.
You can hear me when we listen with our hearts. I understand you, you understand me. That's the place where we can start. Words of kindness and forgiveness bring us closer, not apart. When we speak our minds and listen with our hearts. And listen with our hearts.
The sky turns into an illustration in the book. The page turns to a picture of Lumiere and the feather duster below a title, Fifi's Folly. On the next page, an illustration of the castle comes to life. The feather duster cleans the desk in the study. La Plume watches her.
Mademoiselle, are you all right?
She smiles as she works.
You seem dizzy with fever.
Then things are not always as they seem, for I am dizzy
with love.
She sweeps up dust clouds which float up near Le Plume.
This dusting, it's a dirty job, no? But someone must do it.
Come, Fifi, my girl. Time is of the essence. We must have this room.
Spotless.
Le Plume sneezes ink onto Cogsworth, who leaves. Belle enters.
Madame. Oh, do you know what day tomorrow is? Saturday? A Saturday unlike any other, for it is the 5th anniversary of my first date with Mon Cher Lumiere, light of my life. But I have a problem. He surely has marvelous plans for our evening.
Surely.
Perhaps I should dye my feathers? No doubt he will take me for a moonlight serenade, or perhaps a quiet but elegant dinner for two. What do you think, mademoiselle?
Oh, I'm sure whatever it is, it'll be a big surprise.
What? Our anniversary?
In the den.
Of course I remember the first anniversary of our fifth date. It's next... how's Tuesday sound?
The 5th anniversary of your first date is Saturday.
Oh? Pardonnez-moi. I must have wax in my ear. I thought you said...
Saturday.
Goodness no, my child. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow? Sacré bleu! I am, as we say, in hot water.
She may be expecting something special.
But of course! I knew that. There is so much to prepare. I must have flowers.
He enters the bathroom.
I must bathe. I must polish. There must be music, moonlight. I will tell her. Oh no, what shall I tell her? I must have a speech.
In the study, Lumiere writes a letter using Le Plume.
Fifi, you are so feathery. Fifi, words cannot express.
He crumples the paper and tosses it.
My one, my only, my...
A gust of wind blows in through the window. Fire from Lumiere's candle ignites the letter.
My.
The burning paper flies up onto the bookshelf and the fire grows.
Fire! Fire!
Mrs. Potts and Chip enter the study.
Chip, get your brothers and tell them to fill up first. Hurry!
Staff members rush in.
All right, everyone, please remain calm. All right, single file, people. Containers to the front of the line.
Chip and the other teacups fill a punch bowl with water. Lumiere and a coat rack try to lift the punch bowl up a ladder but fail. Walking by, Belle spots the smoke.
What?
She runs to the ladder.
People, urgency.
Come with me, Mrs. Potts.
Oh, but dear, I'm carrying the master's tea. What will he say?
Well, what will he say if the castle burns down?
Belle pours tea on the fire.
Well.
Lumiere sighs in relief.
Oh, you've saved us all, my dear.
All right, show's over. Nothing to see. Move along now. Come. Orderly fashion. Briskly, thank you. Now then, if I might inquire, who was responsible for...
Lumiere shuts Cogsworth out.
Madame, there is no way to thank you except to say thank you.
What in the world were you doing, Lumiere?
I was working on the speech I would give to Fifi on our anniversary.
Speech? Surely you'll simply say what's in your heart.
Madame, you cannot know much about women.
Monsieur, I know a little.
Forgive me, I must rehearse. Fifi, your lips are redder than the red of the reddest red rose. How's it sounding?
Rehearsed.
Ha! Impossible!
Just tell her how you feel.
But I cannot speak the truth which is in my heart. She'd never buy it. There is no hope.
Lumiere, how can you say such things?
For me, words of love flow like water. But sincerity? It's honestly impossible.
Then, monsieur, let me help you find the words to speak your feelings. You tell me everything about that first date, and I'll help you put your deepest, most honest feelings into words.
You are heaven sent. A beautiful angel from above. Now let us begin. We cannot do it here. The little one might see us.
Fifi hides behind a vase as they leave.
Come, ma chérie. We shall, as they say, make beautiful music together.
She pretends to be my friend, even as she ignites this burning passion in my beloved Lumière.
Outside.
It was a night of magic. I began with a serenade.
Lumière slides down a snowy banister, then dances. Fifi watches them from the terrace above.
He serenades the awful creature, just as he did me.
Then we walk together into the night.
Fifi pops out of snow.
And they walk just as we walked.
The evening concluded with a romantic sleigh ride through the moonlit snow.
That's just how tomorrow night should be. And I'll help you make it happen.
Spying on them, Fifi cries. In the study.
Now, you must tell me how you are honestly feeling about her.
I cannot.
You can. Well, perhaps it'll be easier if you pretend that I am Fifi.
She has no shame.
Fifi hides.
Tell me everything you'd tell her.
It is so difficult. I want to. You must know I want to more than anything.
He weakens under the spell of the wretched enchantress.
I am ready now. I shall do it.
Her evil power is too great for my beloved.
Fifi hurries out of the room. Now Lumière looks around near the staircase. He waves a tuba out of hiding.
Remember, if she sees you, you don't see her. I don't know you, and you don't know me. Is that clear?
The tuba shakes its head.
Okay. At precisely 9:47, I want you and your friends...
Lumière? Huh? Where are you going with that tuba?
What tuba?
Lumière, weren't you coming to see me?
My dear, you must remember, things are not always as they seem.
Mrs. Potts hops down a hallway lined with statues of knights in armor. She finds Fifi sobbing by one of the statues.
What's this, then? Whatever's the matter, dear? Why the tears?
What? Tears?
You tell Mrs. Potts what's bothering you. I'm sure whatever it can't be as bad as all that.
Madame, if you were I, and you just lost the man of your dreams, you would cry too!
Mademoiselle, if I were you, I'd have no trouble with men.
But the love of my life is no more. And I don't know what to do to get him back.
Fifi sits in the study.
Mon ami, the male will never respond unless he has no choice, unless he feels threatened.
I do not understand, monsieur.
Jealousy! That is the most powerful of all emotions. When you make him jealous, he is in your complete control.
Ah, merci.
When it comes to love, I wrote the book.
Belle and Lumière face the punch bowl.
Highly irregular, old chap. I never heard of such nonsense.
I beg your assistance.
I have a post to man, sir. Can't just abandon it for some frivolity. Goes against everything in the book, don't you know?
Sir, this is for a higher cause. And this time the book... is the book of love.
Oh, sentimental hogwash.
So it shall be. I only thought that this might serve as a grand last gesture on your part, seeing as how the master is looking to downsize his collection of silver.
Lumière?
It's something I heard. I know people in cutlery.
Oh, Godfrey, how's that again? Mothballing the fleet, you say?
It's true, I have certain connections. Perhaps certain strings might be pulled.
I am at your service, sir.
Magnifique. Now, what we must do is...
Lumiere! What's all this dilly-dallying, and why hasn't the master's... hello. Why isn't the master...
Fifi smiles.
Aha! Mr. Cogsworth.
Her again. Pretend you do not see.
I have been looking all over for you. You big hunk of cluck, you.
Have you? I mean, you have. Why, young woman?
Because you are so, so, so...
Lumiere ignores them.
I'm so, so...
Oh, no! You're magnifique! Oh, so, how you say, full of life.
Cogsworth?
The fashions they come, the fashions they go.
Shh! We must ignore her.
You, mon cher, are always up to the minute, no?
Yes, I do. It's true. I try to keep up with the times.
This is getting embarrassing. We should leave.
So in control, so in charge, and yet also with the devilish sense of humor. What is your secret?
The secret of my comedy, madam, is timing. Clock humor.
What is Fifi trying to do?
She's probably just trying to get out of her duties. Let's go now.
Fifi watches them leave. Cogsworth shuts his eyes.
This is all very interesting, madam, I assure you, but I really must insist.
Oh, he is impossible!
That you return to your duties this minute.
He finds her gone.
That's much better.
Hold still, my friend. Just a bit more.
Really, this is quite unusual. I can assure you it's not found in the code anywhere.
It's almost done. Only one more minor adjustment. Trust me, you will not feel a thing.
In the basement, Lumiere turns the punch bowl into a sleigh. Fifi watches.
Tomorrow night, Lumiere shall proclaim his love as he's never done before. Oh, doesn't it sound romantic, Sultan?
Ah, yes, it shall be a night to remember. A night of nights. The most perfect and most romantic of all nights ever.
Fifi frowns.
Think of it, Sultan. If you help us with this, you shall be part of history.
No longer will you be treated like a footrest, even though you are a footrest.
Oh, thank you, Sultan. You don't know how happy this makes us.
Belle puts the footrest down, then carries Lumiere out of the den.
And so she has triumphed, huh? And this flirt not only steals my love, she steals him on the most important of all nights! The night which should have been mine! If I cannot have that joy, no one shall.
In the basement, the punch bowl sleeps.
Yes, that's it. Carefully now. Don't cut all the way through. Yes, perfect.
A pair of scissors partially cuts the rope attached to the bowl. In the foyer.
Now I have done all I can do. There is nothing left for me here.
Fifi, where are you going?
Oh, nowhere. Vixen.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, nothing. Backstabber.
Ah, there you are, my love.
Lumiere.
Are you ready?
For what?
For the wonderful evening I have planned for the two of us.
Which two?
You and me, of course.
Oh,
It's our anniversary.
Is it? Why, I'd totally forgotten.
Shall we begin?
Oh, Lumiere.
On the terrace, the tuba and a concertina play music while Lumiere conducts them. He looks up and smiles at Fifi, who watches from a high windowsill. Later, they stand by a water fountain.
This'll be a night to remember.
It sure will.
Sultan pulls the punch bowl across the snow while Lumiere and Fifi ride inside.
Look at my nervous little dear, fluttery as a sparrow.
You've always done that to me.
Snow is on the ground, a frigid winter chill is in the air, and still my sweet feels warm.
You set my belly heart aflame.
The rope starts to break.
Relax, my love. Everything will be all right.
They hug.
Yes, I believe it will.
They continue to ride across the snow.
Lumiere, what a fool I've been.
But a fool for love, and there is no better kind.
Sultan makes a sharp turn, causing the rope to tear more.
And now, my Fifi, there is something I wish to tell you.
Yes, Lumiere.
On this most perfect of evenings,
his head starts melting.
This wonderful night with you and me and the moon and the sleigh.
The rope snaps and the punch bowl continues moving without Sultan.
And the moon. Did I say the moon? And Sultan? Where is Sultan?
The footrest stops. The punch bowl stares wide-eyed.
Who is driving this thing?
I was rather hoping you'd know the answer to that, old chap.
You must stop us at once!
Sir, I was designed to serve punch, not ferrying people about in the snow. Rather new to this, you know.
Sultan chases after them. Fifi turns to Lumiere.
Oh, my brave one! What shall we do?
There is only one thing to do. We must scream like bloodless cowards. Help!
Inside, Belle puts a book away.
Listen, it sounds like Lumiere calling for help.
I believe it is. Fancy that. I shouldn't think he'd need help.
But Mrs. Potts's in trouble. They're all in trouble. Come quickly.
The punch bowl glides toward the edge of the terrace.
Not that way, mon ami. Any way but that way.
He turns sharply.
I say, this isn't likely to end well at all, is it?
They slide along the ledge.
Lean to the left, my love.
Belle and Mrs. Potts watch.
Oh, my word. That doesn't look safe at all.
They run downstairs. The punch bowl continues across the wall.
What shall we do now?
Now, I believe we shall perish.
Lumiere hugs Fifi. They fall off the ledge.
Fifi, Lumiere!
They plummet down a cliff.
Hold on, Lumiere!
Considering the option, I had no intention of doing otherwise.
The punch bowl hangs on a branch.
Lumiere, save us!
I would if I could!
Fifi falls out. He grabs her.
Don't let go, my love!
Cogsworth and other staff members arrive.
I have an idea.
The branch starts to break.
Oh, this is all my fault. If only I had trusted you.
You must know I love you from the very bottom of my heart, mon cher.
Yes, and I...
Yes?
I...
I'm listening.
I...
Fifi looks down.
I am not going anywhere!
Get a tight hold and don't let go!
The staff forms a chain while Belle holds them over the wall.
One moment, if you will.
Lumiere takes out a letter, which blows away.
Oh my! No! Well, the words, they escape me.
Tell me, Lumiere!
You are my one,
My only... you are heaven sent, a beautiful angel who... Oh, Fifi, plainly and simply, I love you.
You do?
I do.
The branch snaps. Mrs. Potts grabs onto the punch bowl with her spout, and Belle pulls them all up.
Oh, I'm so glad you're safe.
I'm afraid our anniversary was far from perfect.
It has been an evening I shall never forget.
Fifi kisses Lumiere and his candles light up.
Do you suppose things will be all right now? I mean, she seems happy.
Sometimes things are just as they seem.
Belle's image turns into an illustration in the book. To a drawing of a bird beneath a title, Broken Wing. On the next page, an illustration of snow falling in the woods comes to life. A roaming view shows the castle in the distance. In Beast's room...
Cogsworth! Where are you? Cogsworth!
Are you, bellowed, sir?
The girl will join me for lunch tomorrow.
Excellent idea, sir. Perhaps a string quartet to provide...
There should be music.
Lovely touch.
And fresh flowers.
If I have to grow them in my room overnight.
I want the best linens.
Naturally.
The finest china.
Goes without saying.
The nicest silver.
Nothing less. De rigueur, most certainly.
And my cape is still torn.
He tosses it on Cogsworth.
Yes, but I sent the sewing basket up a week ago. I have no idea why...
Cogsworth, are you losing control of your staff?
Me, son? No, sir, heavens, no.
See that you don't.
Cogsworth shakes in fear as Beast walks away.
And, what does Master wish for his luncheon?
Perfection. Nothing less.
Outside the castle, a bird struggles to fly through the falling snow and strong winds. It flaps its wings mightily before a gust sweeps it away. The wind slams the bird against the castle. It tumbles down into a pile of snow on a rooftop. Popping out, it wears a worried look. The small bird tries to fly, but falls in a downward spiral. Belle opens her bedroom window, and the bird lands on the floor.
Really, Master's a lovely fellow if you can overlook a few things. Like his personality, his appearance, his manners, personal hygiene, taste in clothes, no sense of humor whatsoever, and that breath. Well, it's... What brought that on? The only thing I'm allergic to is...
Bird, look.
Oh, my, oh, me, honk you. Oh, the master, he will, oh. He doesn't care for animals much.
But it's only a tiny bird.
The master likes birds least of all.
You can't be serious.
Hello? Are you in there?
Oh, to do something with it, my dear, quickly. Quickly, dear.
Belle puts the bird in the wardrobe.
No, not there of all places.
You're there! Open the door!
Oh, well, what took you so long?
Beast enters the room.
Okay, who's wearing cashmere? There's cashmere in the room. Is it me or is it really hot in here?
Yes. The invitation, Master.
Oh, yes. You're having lunch with me.
Am I?
You are.
I am not.
Perhaps the Master might be a bit more gracious.
Why should I?
Yeah, precisely my point. You shouldn't. She's out of line. Why was she raised in a barn?
She is new to the castle, sire. Certain courtesy might be afforded her.
As always, you're right, Mrs. Potts.
Apple polisher.
Beast sidesteps over to Belle.
Perhaps you will join me for lunch, if you have no other plans.
I hardly have plans. But since you put it that way,
I accept.
He smiles.
You see? It's all in the asking.
Mademoiselle will be expected at exactly 12 o'clock. Sharp, on the dot. Precisely.
B sniffs the air as he starts to leave.
What is that smell?
Smell? What smell? I don't smell like burr. Did I say burr? I mean burr. 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 Is it me or is it really cold in here?
I know I smell something.
No, I'm afraid it's just a sock drawer. Yeah, I've been meaning to air it out.
Belle shuts the door as Beast walks out.
Oh, we are talking close. One more step from the big guy and I'd have been history. Firewood. Life flashing before my eyes. Heart pumping like mad. Ooh, what a rush!
What could he possibly have against a little bird like this?
Well, it's beautiful, lovely, and sweet. Everything he's not.
Oh, no, his wing. It's broken.
I thought something was amiss, miss.
Miss Potts,
Don't get your drawers in an uproar, love. Your secret's safe with me.
Belle kneels and shows Mrs. Potts the bird.
Oh, dear thing. He has had a rough time, hasn't he? How can we help?
Later, Belle wraps the bird's wing and adds a splint.
He looks funny with a stick under his arm.
It's a splint, Chip, to hold the wing in place while it heals.
The bird drinks water out of Chip.
His feathers are tickling me.
Are you ready for me yet, dear?
Not too warm, is it?
I've given a bath or two in my time, love.
She makes me take one most every day, whether I need it or not.
All right, then, here we go.
Mrs. Potts pours water on the bird as it stands in a bowl. Cogsworth faces the kitchenware.
Attention, straighten that line up. That file is rank. Settle down. Time is wasting. Now, I suppose you're all wondering why you're all here today. Well, you're here because I summoned you. Because when Cogsworth speaks, people listen. But enough about me. Assuming, of course, there could ever be enough about me.
Lumiere chases Fifi.
Now, as you know, the master has requested. Will you stop chasing her?
That, monsieur, is my one goal in life.
As I was saying.
Plate circle a sugar bowl.
Don't you mind?
Thank you.
As I was. That will do.
The kitchenware starts dancing.
People! Hey. I simply do not understand. The cutler is cutting up, the dishes won't heed my wishes, even the goose pate won't obey.
There, love, let me help you.
She blows steam out of her spout.
All right then, my dears, we really must be getting on with our chores. The master's having Belle to lunch and...
And I will tolerate nothing less than perfection. Now, first order of business. Again!
May I? Come on now, let's get a move on, shall we? Dishes to the kitchen for a scrubbing. Silverware, off you go for a polish. Linens? Well, let's get those wrinkles out. Everyone else, you know what to do.
Why did they do it? What did you exactly?
It's all in knowing how to talk to them. Nice and sweet, like.
She leaves.
Nice and sweet indeed. It's this mollycoddling which has made them such a discipline problem. They need to be brought back under control. That is what they need. And I have the firm little hand that can bring that about.
Dark clouds move over the castle. Beast paces beside a lit fireplace while Cogsworth stands nearby.
Where is she?
I don't know, sir.
Well, what time is it?
I don't know, sir.
You don't know?
Of course I know. I am, after all, clock. And it is exactly 12:07 p.m. Perhaps she's still dressing.
Best be a better reason than that.
In her room, Belle cleans the bird's wing.
Now then, are you hungry?
I am hungry!
Perhaps she thought I meant 12 midnight?
For lunch!
Belle serves the bird some food. In the dining room, Cogsworth paces on the table.
Might I suggest, sire, that you sit patiently, perhaps a quick game of solitaire, and wait for the girl to...
I'm going to go get her!
No one, but no one, pays the least bit of attention to a word I say! I'll show them. I shall sit here. Let them get by without me for a while. Maybe then they'll listen to a few things.
Are you coming or not?
Ah! Right behind you, sire. Merely stopped to tie my shoes. And since I don't wear shoes, it took a bit longer than I expected.
Belle sets a small blanket over the bird.
Rest is what you need.
What's keeping you?
Oh, yes. Why, I forgot all about you.
You forgot?
Well, I...
The wardrobe and Mrs. Potts shake their heads.
You see, I... The truth is, I found a bird today, and...
You found a what?
Belle wears a determined look.
It's a bird. He was wounded.
That makes no difference. There are no such creatures allowed in my castle. You will get rid of it immediately.
I'll do nothing of the sort.
You won't. Well, of course you!
He needs me. I'm taking care of him. I bathed him, bandaged him, fed him, and...
You were supposed to eat with me.
He's had a serious injury. He needs my attention.
I want that bird out of my castle!
But...
Now!
The bird hops away.
Come back here! Somebody catch that thing!
Yes, of course. Catching, sir. Wait,
get out!
Sir. I'm getting it. No, to your left. No. Move away. Over there. Let me reach. I can't quite grab it.
Beast tries to catch the bird. He opens his hands and finds Cogsworth. The bird hops out of Belle's room and Beast follows. He chases the bird down the grand staircase.
Leave him alone!
Beast trips on Cogsworth, and they tumble down the steps. The bird jumps out of the way. Beast lands on his back.
Oh, no!
Descending the stairs, Belle checks on him. She takes his large hand.
Is he all right?
I think so.
She caresses his face.
Please, please wake up.
Oh, let's don't gather too close. Master!
The bird perches on a statue of a winged lion. Beast slowly opens his eyes and spots it.
That's beautiful.
Belle smiles at him.
I was trying to tell you.
Such a wonderful sound.
Beast rubs the back of his neck, then stands. He steps toward the grand staircase.
The bird must never leave the castle.
Beast reaches his hand out and the bird hops onto his finger.
I'll keep him in a cage in the parlor.
But he'll be well soon.
He's no longer your concern.
You can't keep him in a cage. He needs to be free.
He is free.
To sing for me.
I won't let you.
It is not
your place to talk that way to me. The bird is mine. I've spoken, and there's no more to be said.
I'll be taking lunch in the parlor.
He leaves, and Belle sits on the steps.
He can't do this.
Don't lose hope, love. Once you've lost that, you've lost everything.
Our luncheon is to be rescheduled for one in the...
The knives fight each other.
That's it. If you two cannot cut the mustard, your services will not be required.
Oh, Cogsworth, they're only young children. A couple of cut-ups.
Do not seek your advice. To the silver drawer with the both of you. You are not Castle Caliber. Perhaps you'd like to join them?
Lumiere sadly leaves. Dishes stand at attention.
From now on, this is how things shall be. For I, and I alone, am in charge.
In a cage, the bird looks sad.
What's the matter with you? Why don't you sing?
Look lively now. That's it.
The staff frowns.
I don't have all day. Now sing.
Perhaps If you sang, sir, the bird might sing too.
Hmm, yes. That's a good idea. You do it.
Me? But I'm tone deaf. I know absolutely nothing about music, except, obviously, how to keep time.
Sing.
Yes, singing.
That's terrible. Enough! Go get Belle!
Your wishes, my command. Whatever your heart desires, I will always...
Go!
I'm gone.
Cogsworth runs out. Beast glances at the bird. It wears a forlorn expression.
You're never gonna sing for me, are you?
The bird turns its back on him, and Beast looks glum. Outside, Belle watches birds in a tree.
The master requests your presence in the parlor immediately, if not sooner.
I'm busy.
You are? Well, be that as it may, madam, and I doubt if it is, you are to come with me at this moment.
Oh, very well.
In the parlor, Beast angrily paces near the bird's cage.
Why won't you sing for me? You're staying in my castle. The least you can do is sing.
Why do you yell at the poor thing as if you own him?
I command him to sing. Why won't he?
Because he isn't happy. Do you think you'd sing if you were in a cage?
He must obey me.
Why don't you let him out?
He'd get away.
Would you blame him? I would too if... If only you treat him with respect, he'll be happy. If he's happy, he'll sing.
No! This bird shall sing for my pleasure and mine alone.
It is my order.
Your orders, sir, are words and words alone. They have no meaning to the bird or me.
Belle storms out.
Dare she speak to me like that?
Outside, our view closes in on the castle. Sitting in the parlor, Beast taps his fingers on his chair's armrest. In the cage, the bird hangs its head. Cogsworth watches the dishes solemnly walk through the kitchen. The wardrobe wears a concerned look as Belle lies on her bed. She rests her head on a pillow. Hopping down a dark hallway, Mrs. Potts bumps into a decorative table.
Oh, I can hardly see the spout in front of me face. My word, dearie, what's become of your flame?
No light from me can brighten the black darkness which has befallen our castle.
Mrs. Potts drops her sad gaze. From a window, Beast watches Belle walk across the snow outside the castle.
Do you think you'd sing if you were in a cage?
He approaches the bird and it hides its head. Picking up the cage, Beast walks upstairs. Cogsworth follows. In his room, Beast sets the cage on a table. Cogsworth looks worried as he watches him.
The time has come.
Beast rips the door off the cage and the bird hops around in fear. He picks up the small creature.
We must see if you've healed.
Beast takes off the bandage and the bird flaps its wings.
All right then.
He opens the curtain near his balcony.
You must go free.
Cogsworth chimes.
Quiet! Hush! Stop it now! Perhaps Master should keep a tighter grip on the creature, lest it, fly off into the castle.
That isn't necessary.
Beast shows him the bird.
Ah, knocked the fight right out of him, eh? Have you?
No. He stays because he trusts me.
Beast pets the bird with his finger.
Isn't it amazing? Come. Watch.
Cogsworth follows him to the balcony.
Go on now. Fly.
The bird flaps its wings and flies through the air. Cogsworth waves. The bird loses control. It falls onto a gargoyle.
Oh, my heavens. No!
I must save him.
Beast jumps down to a rooftop, but loses his footing and slips.
Master!
Cogsworth falls off the balcony and grabs onto Beast's cape. Belle watches.
I wonder if you have the time. Might you be able to save us as well?
In a minute, Cogsworth.
Beast saves the bird.
Oh, no, no problem, really. I wasn't going anywhere. I hope.
Mrs. Potts!
Hold on.
I have no intention of disobeying.
The cape tears.
Now I remember. I had meant to have that cape mended.
It rips and Cogsworth drops.
Cogsworth!
He holds onto the piece of cape, which snags on a ledge.
Can you forgive me, my friends? I thought I might demand your respect rather than earn it. I suppose it's fitting that I should end up this way, alone, helpless. And now it would seem my time has run out.
Cogsworth lands on a blanket held up by the castle staff.
My, how time flies.
The bird flies out of Beast's hand. It flutters near Belle before taking off into the sky. In the dining room, Belle and Beast sit at each end of the long table. A cart rolls in with dishes.
Very good. Nicely done.
You're looking wonderful.
Let me give you a hand.
Cogsworth helps a bowl with its ladle.
It's your friend.
Huh? He's come back.
The bird perches on a windowsill and snuggles another bird.
Ah, love is most definitely in the air.
And it begins, Lumiere, with trust. Well, with mutual respect, as I have always said. All relationships must be firmly based on that. One must build on a firm foundation of trust and respect in order...
Looking at Lumiere and Mrs. Potts, Belle holds a finger to her lips and points. She and Beast watch the birds together. Later, the birds fly away. Our view of the castle turns into an illustration on a page. The book closes to show the title, Belle's Magical World. Audio description by WGBH with funding by Disney. Voiced by Alan Pintal.